Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So we got to the last five lines of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara had just discussed a Mishnah, with regards to how one is mafsha, how one skins a carbon Pesach, when Yudalad Nisan falls out on Shabbos, meaning the preparations of carbon Pesach is taking place on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, and Broka, one would only be mafshit ad achazin, until the chest area, which would be sufficient to start removing all the fats and then preparing everything. But according to the Chachamim, one would be mafshit as kula. You'd skin the entire animal, because that would be the proper thing to do in terms of, it's a mechubadik thing to do, to a carbon. So the Gemara now says, Amar of Chizda, Amar Mar Ukva, last five lines again of Kuf Tes Zayin Mabiz, Maya Hadrile Chavraya, the Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Biochan Ben Broka. What would their response be to Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Biochan Ben Broka? So Halchi Kamrile. This is what the Chacham would respond back to Rabbi Shmuel. In Matzilin Tik HaSefer, this is why the Bryce is brought here, because it connects to our Mishnah, that in Matzilin Tik HaSefer, Im HaSefer, if you're able to save if there's a delayka, if there's a fire, we said you could save the safer along with the bag or the cover of the safer. So you're allowed to save the safer, tika safer, ima safer, lo nafshit es ha-pesach, should you not be able to skin the entire animal, mi'oro, from the skin? So Rashi just explains here, last three narrow lines of Rashi, tik im ha-safer, v'af al-pi she'esh b'soch ha-maos. Even though there might be money, the Mishnah says, in that bag, you could still save the bag along with the safer, ignoring the maos, the money that you're carrying there as well. In order to show proper respect to the sefer, you're able to carry it, even though you're also bringing mouse. If that's allowed to save the sefer, certainly one would be able to skin the entire animal for kavod the tzarch gavoa of a carbon. So the Gemara says that midam, could you compare the case of skinning an animal to the case of schlepping the sefer? Hasam over there, it's tilted, it's just schlepping, it's an issue of muksa, not an issue of any malacha, just an issue of muksa, carrying maos. It's not such a severe issue, it's an issue of midrabanan. But hacha here, malacha, to skin an animal on Shabbos is a malacha we're talking about here, so they're very different cases, and just because we allow one to violate tiltal for tzarach gavoa, doesn't mean we'll allow a person to violate a malacha for tzarach gavoa. So Amar Rav Ashi, Vashi says, Batarti pligi, they're arguing on two different levels, pligi betiltal, they argue with respect to the muksa, and they also argue with respect to malacha. V'hachi ka'amrile. This is what they're saying. Imatzilin tik ha-sefer, imasefer. If you're able to save the sefer with the bag with the sefer, even though there's money, meaning you're violating muksa, tiltum, lo nitalta or agab basar, would you not be able to carry the skin along with the basar? Right now, the Gemara is just addressing the muksa part. So if muksa is able to be violated with respect to carrying the mouse, certainly you could violate muksa in terms of moving the skin with a basar, because a basar would be something that's not muksa. Basar is it's inedible, it's raw, and therefore it's muksa. So the Gemara says, wait a second, before addressing any malacha question, in terms of muksa, could you compare the case of muksa of mouse to the case of muksa of ore with basar? Mi dami, are these two cases comparable? Hasim over there, nase basas ledavar hamutr. There, by the case of the tick, the bag, it's been a basas, it's a base for a davar heter in terms of a sefer. So if it's a basas of a davar heter, of course you could carry it. Right now, the Gemara is not addressing the maos question. They're just talking about the tick holding the sefer. So if I could carry a bag holding a sefer, that's entirely mutter. There's nothing to talk about. Hacha here, nase basas the davar aser. But here, the skin is a basas, it's a base, it's holding that which is aser. What's aser? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hacha, two lines down on Kuf Yud Zayin, Hai or, Nasa Basas Ladavar Shekulo Aser, Betulto, it's holding that which is entirely Aser, Shebasar Aser Litaltala, you can't move Basar on Shabbos, Delo Chazi Lachila Ad Orta, you can't eat the Karim Pesach until evening, until a Matzah Shabbos, which is Leil Pesach, then, the Pesach Eino Nechel Ela Belaila Vitzali. So therefore, since the Basar is Aser, you're talking about a Davar Iser, Basas Ladavar Aser. Now, Tosas argues with Rashi. He doesn't think the issue we're talking about here is the basar. He thinks the issue is the animal that was alive. Before you shechted the animal, animals are usr, the muks on Shabbos. So since Shabbos began Friday night, you didn't shech the animal, it was alive Friday night. So behemas are usr b'muksa. And then even though you shechted it later on, since you start off Shabbos and the behemah was muksa, it's continued to be muksa later in the day, even after it's been shechted. So either we're talking about the basar being usr to eat until that night, or that because the behemah in general, is usr on Shabbos. So either way, the case of the or is a basar ledavar asr, the basar or the behemah is asr. But the case of the tick holding a sefer, right now just the sefer, no maos, holding a sefer is a basar ledavar hamutr. So you can't compare the muksa cases. So the Gemara tweaks this and says two lines down, elahachi kamrile. Im matzilin tik shel sefer, im ha-sefer, afal pishes besocha maos. Now we're adding the element of maos now. And if you're able to carry the bag with the sefer, even though it also has maos, which is muksa, lo netaltel or agabasar, should you not be able to carry the skin, even though it has the basar, which is muksa, attached to it? And the Gemara says you still can't compare these two cases because mi dami, are they comparable? Hasam nasir basar ledavar haasar u ledavar hamutar. By the case of the bag, it's holding two items, a davar heter and a davar iser. We know if something's a basar to two things, that basar, if my table, let's say, is holding Shabbos candles, that's a davar iser. If I put a sefer on this, a sefer is more chashiv than the candles, so now the table is no longer basar ledavar haasar, it's basar ledavar hamutar. I mean, whichever item is either more chashiv or more valuable will dictate the status of this table. So if it's a basis to two things, one's asr, one's mutter, if the davar mutter is more chashiv, this table will not be a basis, and mutter to move on Shabbos. But that's because it's holding two different items. Again, hasam there, by the case of the tick, it's nasa basis the davar asr, the mouse, but also the davar hamutter, which is the safer. But here, hacha, by the case of the or, kulu nasis Nasib basar ledavar asr. The skin is only holding a davar iser. It's only holding or rather basar, and therefore it's a basar ledavar asr, which is asr. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Elihachi kamri le. Really, what they say would be as follows: in mevin tik sheyesh basocha maos ma'alma lahatzir bo sefer Torah. If you're able to, now the Gemara is really expanding the Mishnah. If you take a bag that has money in it, and you want to use that bag with money to now bring a sefer. The sefer's not in the bag. I have a bag over there in the corner with money. But I want to use that bag to take my sefer outside. So I take the bag of money, bring it over to my sefer, and then put the sefer in, and then carry it out. So from the beginning, getting from point A to point B, the bag with most, I'm able to move it when it's only the davar aser. So if that's allowed, which again is a jump made by the Gemara here, if I'm allowed to again schlep that bag and read it inside again, in mevi and tik, sheyesh basocha mos me'alma from elsewhere, in order to take that bag, lahatzil bo, sefer Torah, say, if I'm allowed to move the maos, lo netalta or, agav basar, would I not be able to take the or, which also only has basar on it? So we see these two cases now would be very comparable. Then Gemara says, wait a second. Vi gufa minalot. How do you know you could take a bag of money in order to go bring it to the sefer? Who said you're allowed to do that in the first place? Elaim, if you tell me, midehecha de isbe, lo shadile, asui nami maisinan, if you say, if you look at Rashi to explain what's going on here, if you see Rashi, inema midehecha de isbe maos ima sefer. If you're saying because if you're able to carry a bag that has maos with a sefer, lo shadile lo matzichle tana didan l'mashadinu kidekatani v'yafa pishesh besocha maos. Meaning the case of the Mishnah is a case where I have a bag that has both a sefer and maos in it. They don't say, oh, shake out the maos first, throw out the money. And this way you don't have to schlep the money. It says, it's okay. Once you have the money and safer in it, schlep them both. And I don't have to remove the money. So now the Gemara makes it a step further. If you had a case where it's a bag with only money, it doesn't require me to throw out the money in order to go put the safer in it as well either. That's the jump the Gemara is saying here. So look at Rashi, Asuye Nami Maisinan. You're able to, this is the extension. You should also be able to, me'alma, bring it from elsewhere, me'achas zavios habayis, from one of the corners, a tick, u'besocha mos, even though there might be money in that bag, la'niach besocha sefer, in order to utilize the bag and put the sefer in it, u'lahatzu. That's the jump, the Gemara says. Gemara says, that's a big jump. Who says you're allowed to do that? Midami, are these cases comparable? Hasim over there, adahachi v'hachi nafla dleka. If I have a sefer and mos in the bag already, if I'm trying to shake out the mouse, that's going to be complicated. I need to take out the safer. I need to shake out the bag. I'm wasting crucial moments here. The whole safer could go on fire. I could lose everything. I have no time to waste. So there, since I can't waste any time, I need to bring everything together. I can't shake out the money. But here, if I've got a bag in the corner of money, so by the time I bring it to point A, to where the safer is point B, I can easily just shake the money out as I'm running over, which is something very easily done. So the Gemara says again, me dummy, can you compare these cases? Hasam over there. If I have the sefer and mos in the bag already, at the hachi v'hachi, I waste time shaking it out, nafla deleka, the fire is going to expand. Hacha here, where there's, again, a bag in the corner, at the hachi v'hachi, l'shadina. When I'm bringing from point A to point B that bag, I can easily shake out the money as I'm running to go get the sefer. And therefore, you cannot make this extension, this jump. Ella, Amar Mar Barvashi, Li Olam Kedamrina Mekar. Really, we're going to back where we said earlier in the beginning. That the machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, which is where we started off, the starting point was, it was only talking about malacha, how much malacha, how much hafshata could be done. Muksa was never on the radar. So we're going to now completely remove muksa from the picture now, from the equation. And we're going to say they're only arguing about malacha of hafshata, of skinning. And now the Gemara says as follows. Hacha, again, liolim kedamrina meikar. Really, we're going back to what we initially said, that muksa wasn't on the radar. Udekashilach hacha, tilt of hacha malacha. We wanted to initially make that equation between the case of hafshata to our case of the mission of the sefer. One to malacha, one's talking about muksa. Kigon de lo kabile or kabile lo. It's a situation where you don't need the skin. The ha ba, so you don't need the skin. And therefore what? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Udekashilach de lo baile lo or. You don't need or the einu miskavin lahavshit mission or you don't need to really move the skin. V'lo dami lahavshit ayalim v'techashim udemishkan. So initially that they're arguing about skinning the animal, but it's not. So the question is: there malach involved when you skin an animal when you don't really need the skinning of the animal? It's unnecessary. It's davar shein miskavin. I'm not interested in this, and therefore it shouldn't be an issue. The way it was done in the Mishkan is you skin the animal because you need the skin, you need the hide, you need to make the curtains, whatever you're using it for. Here, I don't need the skin, I need the basar inside. I'm just removing the skin to get to the inside. Is that going to be an issue of a malach or not? So Chacham said, it's not an issue. I don't need the skin. It's not, it's malach hashem tzich l'gufa. So the Gemara says, okay, if Chacham allow you to skin the entire animal because it's not really malacha, but v'ha baye v'rava damri tavayu moda Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha, but the psik reisha v'lo yamus, even though that might not be your intention, if it's going to inevitably happen that you skinned an animal, that you can't ignore that. That's a violation. It's an inevitable result. And therefore, you should be chayiv in doing so. So even though you don't have kavana. And so Gemara says, no, the shakale bibarze. What does bibarze mean? So Rashi explains, the shakale bibarze, b'chatichos dakos mafshit v'chotech. You cut the skin in very tiny pieces. You don't skin the whole animal as a whole. You chop them in tiny pieces and remove it, which is very tedious, it seems. But the ein derech hafshata b'kach, it's not the normal way, v'lav malachi ela shvus. That's not even a malacha, it's a shvus. A malacha means to skin the whole animal straight. It wasn't my intention. Those davar shein miskavein. I didn't want the skin. I just wanted the basar inside. Still, it's psik reisha. But if, however, I cut up in tiny pieces, which is not the melacha, it's a shinoi, it's klach hayad of some sort, that would only be a derban, only be a shvus. So since it's a shinoi, plus it's a davar shein miskavein, that together would allow it to be entirely mutter, according to the chachamim, while Rabbi Shmuel would argue and say that would still be usser, and that's why you can only skin it until the chazer. Okay, a little bit challenging. It's a good question, but I guess the fact that it's a shinoi plus the fact that it's also a melacha shen davar shem eskavin that is able to override the tircha factor.
Don't we hold that psik reisha with davar shem eskavin and with a shinoi is okay?
Yeah, I think so. These things are, I don't remember all the different things.
Here,
yeah. Right, Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Lehechan Matzilin Elsa. Where would you save it? So this is a little bit complicated. This is a little bit introduction to Hilchos Erevin, Maseches Erevin. So we said in the Mishnah, we have Machlokas where you're able to save these items to. Can you save it either to the Tanakhama said a Mavoi Shein Mefulish? The word Mefulish is unclear what it means. Or Moshe is a tshuva. He doesn't know how to define Mefulish exactly. But we'll see just some examples in the Gemara here. So you could send it to Ein Mefulish. Ein Mefulish is a less issue. Ein mefulish typically means it's an area that doesn't pass through. It's closed off somehow. A mavoi mefulish, which means it passes through, would be more problematic. So the fact that Tanakhama says you could only save it to a mavoi that's ein mefulish, and Ben Becerra says you could save it even to a place that's mefulish, even to a place that's almost like Rishas Rabim, you could even save it to that area. So Gemara now wants to know, what's the definition of ein mefulish versus mefulish? Again, Tanakhama is machmir, only to an ein mefulish is allowed. Ben Becerra says even to a mefulish mavoi would be permitted as well. So what are these terms? So Gemara says, hei chidami mefulish, hei chidami she'ein mefulish. So Amr Rav Chista, shalosh mechitos, Vishnei lechiyim. A lechi is a korah and a lechi. We're going to learn in the Gemara's in Erevin about it, but a korah is a beam. A lechi is a vertical post on the side. These are viewed as in order to close off areas as either a hecker or perhaps it serves as some type of closure, some type of pesach. So the din is that Rav Chisda holds shalosh mechitos u'shnei l'chayin or lachin. You have three walls and two lachis. So now that's called a zemavoy shein mefulash. You have three walls, so you have an area that's a dead end. And then the open area, the one wall that's open, you have a lachi, a vertical post there. That's
on the same side, one on each side.
If it's shnei lachin, it's one on each side. Exactly. Yeah, it's a square. You have four walls, but in this case, only three walls. The one area is open. If shnei lachis, one is on each side, one post on each side. That's ein mefulash. That's where everyone agrees you're allowed to bring to. Shlosh mechitzos, if there are three walls, but only lachi echad, only one lachi, meaning the open area, that fourth wall that's open, exposed, there's only one lachi there, zeh mavoy hamefulash. That's called an exposed area, and that only ben beseira allows you to bring to that area. V'tervayu, both of them, both Tanakama and Ben Beseira, are working within the opinion of Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. Who's Rebbe Eliezer? So the Mishnah quotes three opinions now. The Tanan, the Mishnah, the Maseches Erevin says, Hechsher Mavoy, how does one Machsher Mavoy, an alleyway? Beishami Omrim Lechi V'Kori, need those two items, a vertical post and a horizontal post, which is a Kore. Beishol Omrim, you need one or the other, O Lechi, O Kore. And Rebbe Eliezer, which is who we're working with him, Omer Shnei Lechi, you need two Lechis. So according to him, you need two Lechis to make something a Mavoy, Einu Afulush. So that's what you require here as well. But Ben Masera is the one who's makel that Rebbe Lazar would agree in this case that one Lechi would be sufficient in this particular case. So that's what they're working with him right now. So comes along Amalei Rabbi. Rabbi says, Shalosh Mechitas for Lechi Echad Mefulush Karislei. So granted, Rebbe Eliezer requires two Lechis. If you only have one lechi, still he doesn't allow you to carry it, but that's not called mefulash. Mefulash means when something can pass through both directions. Once it's three walls, it's like a dead end, that can be mefulash. Granted, you might not be able to carry there because you don't have enough of a lechi, two lechis there, but it's not called mefulash, though. That's not called an open area where it's open in both ends. That's his first question on this interpretation. The Ode, moreover, the Rabbanan, Natzi Latocha Ochlin Umashkin. According to Rabbanan, who defined mefulash as three walls and two lechis, that's a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah now. Why do Rabbanan only allow you to bring the case of a Delaika? In general, I should be able to bring anything in there. Food, drinks, it's a full-fledged mechitza, three walls and two lechis. Why is it limited to only a case of Delaika? So that can't be the definition of mefulash, ain't mefulash. Again, three walls, two lechis, and three walls and one lechi, that's not the machlokas. Ella, Amar Rabba says, shtei mechitas. It's a case where the two walls, where it's an alleyway with two walls, and you pass right through from east to west. You go right through both sides. That's mefulash. And however, it's again, shnei mechitos v'shnei lechem. Now there are two lechis, so on one hand, I think it's two lechis on one side. So Rashi says, no, lechi l'chol pesach b'pesach. Each entranceway has one lechi. There's a vertical post on the east side and a vertical post on the west side of this mavoy. So that's the case that we're talking about here. And then the Gemara says, again, shnei mechitos, shnei lachi, zem mavoy, shein mefulash. That's not mefulash. Even though I could see through, I could walk through, but since there's a lachi on both sides, that halachically says it's not considered a pass-through area. But if it's shnei mechitos, for lachi echad, if there are two walls on both sides and only one lachi, there's only one lachi and it's only on one of the sides, that's zehu mavoy hamefulash. That's called I don't know how to define this term again, but it's a mavoy that one could pass right through. And only Ben Beser would allow you to carry to this area, Mipnei Adelaika. V'tervayu, both of them are Aliba the Rebbe Yehuda. The Sani, the Brayser, says, yes, sir, Al-Kain, Amr Behuda. Behuda says more than what the Chachamim were saying. The Chachamim were talking about there, how does one make an Erev in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we paskin that if you have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you cannot make an Erev in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So if you have an area that's 600,000 people, 16 amos wide, whatever definitions of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you cannot make an Erev, at Tavi Paskin, by Rabbi Yehuda, thought you can make an Erev even around the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is what he says now. That again, yes, Al Kain Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi Yeshlo Shnei Batim, B'Shnei Tzadi Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. A person has two houses on opposite sides of a highway, a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim of some sort, and Osa Lechimikan, you can make a Lechi in one end, and one Lechi on the other end of that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. In other words, I've got these two houses, and they create walls, and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim passes through. So it's going east to west. So I've got these two walls here. I can put a lechi in this entrance and a lechi in this entrance, and then now I've created a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in that area between my two houses, and lechis on both sides. I've got a little area of a Erev here I've created around the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Or the other way is to make a Koramikan or Koramikan. Put a beam on this side when the highway goes through, and a beam on this side, east and west side. I've now created a little Rosh Hashanah Yochid in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's the understanding of Rabbi Huda. V'nosim v'nosim b'emsa, and you're able to carry between those two walls of houses and between the two lechis or koros. And in response to that, Amru lo, ein chacham, say back to Rabbi Yehuda, ein ma'arvin rishis ram l'kach, you cannot make a rishis ram in such a way. You can't, if something is wide open, you can't make it. Either way, what we see from here, that that Rabbi Yehuda says, if you do have a lechi mikan, that does make it an einim of foolish anymore. It's no longer rishis ram, it's einim of foolish. So that's where the chum allow you to save the items mipnei adleika, but there's only one lechi that won't be allowed to make a rishis rabim into rishis yachid. But for the purposes of mipnei adleika, then the seir is makel. If there's one lechi, even though in general you're not allowed to save things in that area, you can't carry things in the area mipnei adleika, he's makel that if there's one lechi, it would be allowed. So the Gemara then says, okay. So if we're talking about chacham allow you to save mipnei adleika to an area of two walls and two lechis, why only mipnei adleika could you move things there? Amar le Abaye ledidach, according to you, nami the rabbanan natzil latocha ochlin mashkim. According to the rabbanan, the chacham of our Mishnah, in the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, when there are two walls and two lechis, that's a full-fledged rishis yachid. You could carry anything you want inside there. Why dafka are we presenting this in the case of the Mishnah mipnei hadleika? So the Gemara says, Ella, going on the top of Amud Beis now, Ella Amar of Ashi, Ashi is really the case of the Mishnah is as follows. Shalosh Mechitos is really three walls, so it's kind of like a dead end. For lechi echad, and there's one lechi only at the entrance or exit, zeh mavoi sheinu mefulash. That's not mefulash, and only ben beser allows you to save there. If it's shalosh mechitos, rather, everyone agrees to save there. If it's shalosh mechitos below lechi, if there's three walls and there's no lechi at all, there's zero lechis, that's zehu mavoi hamafulish. That's called an exposed mavoi, whereby only ben beseira allows you to save to that area. Again, three walls, no lechi. V'afilu Rabbi Eliezer, even Rabbi Eliezer who holds the amar be'inan lechi, you need two lechis. Hanimili ochlin mashin, that's only true for food and drink, do you require two lechis in such a structure of three walls? Aval, the Sefer Torah, he agrees when it comes to Sefer Torah, then b'chal lechi sagi, it would be sufficient for the cover of the Sefer Torah, but p'nei adeleika, it's enough to simply have just one lechi in order to establish this to be a mavoi, einim foolish. But if it has no lechis, that's einim foolish, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, but ben b'seir is just very, very makel in regards to a deleika and a sefer. Okay, that's our little introduction to Hilchas Ervin. Okay. What? Okay, good, excellent. The Mishnah now says in Kuf Yud Zayin Beis, a much easier Amud now. Matzilin and Mazon, we're talking about still a fire. If there's a fire there, you're allowed to say Mazon Shalosh Sudosh. You're able to say three meals worth. Haroi L'Adam L'Adam, Haroi L'Behem Behema. Food that's fit for man consumption, you could save three meals worth for him. And if it's fit for Behema, for animals, meals fit for animals. So the Mishnah says further, Ketzet, how does that work? Nafla deleika b'leil Shabbos, if it fell on Shabbos the fire, so you didn't have your meal yet, you're able to save matzilin mazon shalosh sudos. You can have three meals, because you're supposed to have three meals on Shabbos, so you have three meals to go, save three meals. B'shachos, if you already had your Friday night meal, and now the fire happens on Shabbos morning, so then you only have two sudos left, matzilin mazon shtei sudos. And again, b'mincha, if it's mincha time, where you already had your lunch, mazon sudachas, you can only save one suda for shalosh sudos. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Li Olam Matzion Mazon Shalosh Sudos, he says you're always able to save three meals regardless of the time of day, regardless of what you've already eaten. So Rashi just explains here, Li Olam Hu Matzion, you can always save three meals. Hol V'yom Bar Hachi, since this is a day that's subject to three meals, U'Behatera Tarach, and you're involved in that which is Mutter, D'Hab B'nei Tilten Inu L'Chatzim Murevitz. Because these things are not Muksa. Food isn't Muksa. Food can never be Muksa. So they say, this is a day of three meals, so there's a hetter to carry three meals, even though you haven't, you don't really need to have three meals. So that's the Machlokas Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. Now, there's an interesting discussion. Prima Gadim says that you're allowed to save three meals for each member of your household. If a person's got six children and a wife, there are eight people in the house, you could save 24 meals for everyone in the household. That's Prima Gadim. The Tila David says you can only save meals for young children, ketanim, who don't have the ability on their own to carry. But if they're gedolim that are part of the house, those adult children have to schlep and save their own meals. Now, the Rashba quotes from Yushalmi that says it also doesn't make a difference how healthy or how strong or weak the individual is. It's three meals across the board. Not a big meal, just an average-sized meal. But the Yushalmi that we have in front of us, our Girsa, actually says it does depend, actually, on how much a person eats. So a guy who's a little bit heavier, who eats more, he would actually save three larger meals, and a guy who eats a little bit less, he would have three smaller meals. So that really is subjective, according to the Yushalmi's Girsa, Even though the Rashba felt that the Yushami didn't say that, he felt the Yushami says what it was is actually equal across the board, what size meal. Okay, the Gemara now says, Michti, let's understand this. When it comes to saving food, food is never muksa. The two items that are never muksa on Shabbos, no matter what happens, food that's edible. If food is edible, there's nothing to do with muksa. There's no question of muksa. And svarm or the other things, svarm can never be muksa on Shabbos. So if you're involved in carrying muksa, so why do they limit you at three? Why do they cap it at three meals? Let me save all the food I can possibly save. There's no muksa issue. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava mitoch she'adam bahul amamona. Since a person is so anxious about his money, his property, so e sharis lei asi lachbui. If we're told he could save everything in his pantry, in his fridge, he'll want to save everything. And therefore he might come to extinguish a fire in order to save everything. But if he's capped at three meals, so he's capped at three meals. I can't, there's no point in me extinguishing the fire because once I've saved three meals, Chacham say I can't save any more than that. So this way he's not going to be so anxious about it and won't put out the fire. So Amar Lei Abaye, Abaye says, Ella. Hodatanya, the Brisa, which says, Nishbura lo chavis berosh gago. Person who breaks a jug on the rooftop, the maybe kli, he brings a kli, maniach tachte, he could bring the kli in order to catch whatever's falling out of the jug, whether oil, wine, or whatnot. He's able to bring this. As long as he doesn't bring another one and catch it in the middle of the air, and the yitzar. So you look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'yiklot, kiluach hanofa mina avir. It's the stream that comes in midair. And v'yitzarev means samech legag ke'en shiva. If it's close to the roof, like it's pouring out, like you're drawing the water, elish ena roi lishov shagag chalak. The rooftops were flat. V'yayin ena beguma. It wasn't in a hole. V'yitzarev kli legag shiyazev minagag kli v'hu ochez akli v'yada. So what's going on here? So again, the din is you're allowed to bring a kli in order to catch the wine, but what you can't do is you can't catch it if it's midair pouring off, and also you can't put in such a way where it's mamish next to the rooftop adjacent to it. You have to only do it only if it's kind of next. It has to be a little bit far from the roof, but it can't be too close. It can't be too far. That's what the criteria is. Now the Gemara says, well, why is there any type of limitation of what type of kli to bring there? Hasam, Gemara says, Hasam. What's the gzera ika in that case that you're limited to how to hold the kli to catch the wine? So the Gemara says, Hachanami gzera shem yavi kli derech rosh hazraben. Because if you allow it to bring more kalim to catch the broken wine or oil, the jugs there, you might schlep kalim through Rosh Hashanah. So there it goes there, how to catch the wine, how to catch the oil in order to remind you. So here as well, we have such a gzera that if you allow you to take more food, you're going to extinguish the fire. So therefore, they have limitations on what's allowed to be done or how much is allowed to be done. The Gemara now says, Gufa. We said, Nishbara lo chavis barosh agago, if the jug breaks in the rooftop, maybe kli. You could put a kli and catch it below it. Ubilvad shlo yavi kli achar v'yiklo kli achar v'yitzarif, as long as you don't have it far from the rooftop or close to it. But however, nizdamein lo orchin. Let's say you have guests who are coming; they want to drink wine as well. Maybe kli achar v'kolit kli achar v'yitzarif. Then you'd be allowed to bring another kli for each of the guests. But what you shouldn't do is, that's only if the guests come first. But what you should not do is, you shouldn't do kli acher umitarif, velo yiklot v'acharkach yasmin. You shouldn't first catch the wine and then invite the guests. Ella yasmin v'acharkach yiklot. First invite the guests. Wait a second, I need more wine for them. I need more oil for them. After you've invited the guests, then you're able to go ahead and catch more wine, catch more oil from the jug that broke. Now the Gemara then says, however, ve'ein ma'rimin bekach, you can't do harama, meaning you can't go out and invite guests just to save the oil, save the wine, if they don't really need to be eating. So, Mishum Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru, ma'rimin, you can do harama. So harama is a big topic throughout Ash'as, when you're allowed to do harama, some type of trickery, some type of a loophole in order to save something. So in this case, Rabbi Yosef says, you can do harama. Invite the whole neighborhood, I'm going to feed you guys wine, even though they don't really need to drink the wine, it's in order for you to use more kalim to save the wine. But according to the Tanakhama, you can't do harama. If you talk to no guests who need to drink, you can ask them to come. If they don't need to, that would be violating harama. That would be really bending the rules of halacha.
We are making the takana of not bringing kelim, so there should be enough wine for the guests. Is that what it is?
No, if there are guests that are there, then they need wine. So you can save wine for the guests. But you can't...
But the whole idea is that it's a takana, so you shouldn't people start carrying kelim from another place.
Correct. But they said you're allowed to save... You could save some wine. So the amount of wine you're allowed... We want there to be a hetter for them to save something. So what can they save? They could save as many people need. They can't save more than what people need.
That basically would annul the takana that you shouldn't be able to use more than one kli because they need for the need of the guests.
Say it again.
Meaning the whole.
Right.
Zero that you shouldn't, a takana, you shouldn't bring more.
Right.
More
kli. For myself. Each individual gets one kli.
Right, so, but it's still the same fact that you could be bringing
clay from... Okay, but they want, if there's no heter at all, so then I'm going to ignore the heter. They take my wine away. Right. I have some level heter, so okay, I get something.
Right.
I get
so
one...
Basically, they are saying that it kind of doesn't apply, or applies less strongly.
Less strongly. So then the Gemara says, so now talking about this case of harama, of this type of finding loopholes in halacha, lema bepluksa through Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. It sounds like this question of whether you can invite... guests who are not really hungry to come collect wine or not, that depends on a different machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua about harama. Kimiflagi. The Tani, the Brisa says, Osves beno shenaflu lebor. You have Osves beno. You have a mother and a child, an animal, a cow and a calf that fell into a pit, into a boar of some sort, and it's on Yantif. So the din is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Maalas Arishon Amnash LeShochto. You could bring up the first cow because you want to shecht it in Yom Tov with the intent of shechting it. V'asheni Osel Lo Parnasa B'Mkomo B'Shvil Shelo Yomus. But the second one, you can't shecht Osas Beno on one day. It's a deraisa, of course. What you could do is the other one you leave in the hole and you just feed it until after Yom Tov and then you could pick it up. Rabbi Yeshua Omer No Maalas Arishon Amnash LeShochto. You bring up the first one, the cow, let's say, in order to shecht it, and then ain't a shecht. You say, no, I don't want to shecht this one. I'd rather the other one that's down there. And then go ahead, umar and umal es hasheni. Then you go and bring the other one up, and then ratzezeshecht, and choose which one you want to shecht, because you can't shecht both of them. And this way you've changed your mind, and you brought both up. So that was harama, a very simple loophole, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Well, Rabbi Eliezer did not allow you to do this. So Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that these cases are comparable to the question of inviting guests who are not really hungry? Mimai Dilma Adkan Lo Kama Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer only says there you have to leave one down there. You can't do harama by Osas Beno. Hasam Efshir Berparnas, because there's another way. You could still feed the cow, even though it might not be so enjoyable for the cow and for you to feed the animal while it's in the boar. But you could still save it. So there's a way around it by feeding the boar. That's it. Only there are no other options. Do you could you rely on harama? But if there's a better option, you should really avoid any loopholes. Hacha de lo efshir. Here, it's not possible. You can't save the wine without inviting guests. So lo, he doesn't aser harama in the case of the saving the wine. And then the Gemara says further, v'yad kan lo kamer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua might only allow you to do harama in the case of the animals because hasa mishum dika tzar b'lei chayim, because tzar b'lei chayim is in play here. The animal's stuck in the pit, so you want to save the animal and remove any discomfort. Aval hacha here, deleka tzar b'lei chayim, by the wine, it's just a hefsin mamun. It's not a tzar b'lei chayim, and therefore the it's not as much at stake here, and therefore lo, he would not allow you to do harama by the case of wine. So these two cases are not parallel because you could be mechalik in both directions. The Gemara now says back to saving different items of food on Shabbos mipnei adileika. The Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan hitzil pasnikia. If you saved already pasnikia, which is like white bread, very clean bread, which is more chashir bread, ain matzil pas hadra. You can't save pas hadra, which is I'm not sure, whole wheat bread or something else that might be a little bit dirty looking, not as smooth, and not as chashir. You already have white bread. You can't save the worst bread because you don't need it. It's certainly unnecessary. But if you first say pas hadra, and then you could go ahead and matzah pas nikiya, you could save the better, more chashir bread, because that's considered an enhancement of what you already have. Matzah miyom ha-kippurim le-shabbos, you could save from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, because Shabbos is going up in value, going up in Kedusha. We never have a case of Yom Kippur leading into Shabbos. Lamaisa, it doesn't work out in the calendar. But if one were to have that Yom Kippur as a Friday, you could save from Yom Kippur going into Shabbos. That would be allowed. Avalo mishabbos liyom kippur, vein tzarech lomar mishabbos liyom tov. You can't save from Shabbos an extra meal for Yom Tov, nor could you save an extra meal for Yom Kippur either. Velo mishabbos l'shabbos abba, nor could you save another few extra meals for the following Shabbos either. That would not be allowed. Take a look at Tosus. Interesting Tosus here. Dibur Maskel Aval Lo Mishabbos Liyom HaKippurim. You can't say from Shabbos Liyom Kippur. Pirsh Bekuntris LeMotzei Yom HaKippurim. Why would you say from Shabbos Liyom Kippur? You don't eat on Yom Kippur. Well, what would the meal refer to? So Rashi there means to say. So again, it's a case where Yom Kippur is Sunday. So you can't say from Shabbos Yom Kippur. No one's eating. So you're saving it to Sunday night to the breakfast. That's the Havamina. What you would think maybe you could say from Shabbos to Motzei Yom Kippur. Kamashman, you can't save. Im Tomer says, Tosfos, Pshita, the Chol Gamaru. Well, if it's Sunday night, that's a regular Chol. Of course you can't save for a weekday, from Shabbos to a weekday. What's the Havamina? Maishnam is Shabbos to the Motzei Shabbos. What's the difference from Shabbos to a regular Motzei Shabbos? The Yeshlomer Tosa says the mitzvah lechol b'motzei Yom Kippur, because Motzei Yom Kippur is not stam achol. It's actually a yomtiv. It's a real suda. It's not just a break fast. It's really a suda's mitzvah. And there's rias for this. V'od, he says, the fish is anu mutter yoser. And moreover, it's not, even if it's a regular weekday, even though it's not a regular suda, it's still, since we fasted for 24 hours, there's more of a need and more of a concern that maybe we should be able to save it. Granted, halachically, it's just a regular meal, but since the urgency is greater because we fasted so long, maybe you would be allowed to save for that Matzah Yom Kippur meal. And the third suggestion, says Tosas, inami, the Yom HaKippurim atzmo kamar ulahachia tinokos. It is talking about saving food for Yom Kippur itself. But it's referring to those children who don't fast, that they need to eat meals. So maybe you should be able to save those meals, kamashvlan, that you cannot save meals from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Okay, the Braisa says further now, Taner Abanan Shachach Pas Batanur, person forgets bread in the oven, and it's Shabbos now, V'kidish Alav Hayom, Shabbos begins, Matil Mazan Shalosh Sudos, you could save three meals from the oven, V'omer L'achem, you could tell others as well, Bo V'etzil, come save yourselves as well, L'achem, Ukshirode Lo Yarde B'marde El Basakim. The issue of removing bread from an oven isn't a malacha, but there's a certain skill to do so. It's called rodeh. Rodeh means to scrape it off the side. You have to do it in a very professional way. So it's not a malacha, it's a shvus. But you're allowed to do this, to take the bread off, to save food for yourself, as long as you don't do the normal way with a special tool, but you're using a knife, which is not the typical way. You do b'shinoi, you'll be allowed to save three meals for yourself, and others, you can invite others to save meals for themselves as well. So Eini asks Gemara, is that really true? You can't do any malacha. So why can you do it in the regular way? Lo sase malacha means you can't do malacha, but blowing shofar in Rediyas HaPas is not a malacha at all. So just do the regular Rediyas HaPas. Why do you have to do any type of shinoi for Rediyas HaPas is not a malacha? So the Gemara answers, as much as a shinui we could do, we like to employ a shinui as much as possible. Granted, you really don't need to do a shinui, but certainly best to do a shinui anyways. So Amar Rav Chista says, Li olam yashkim adam lotzas Shabbos, shenemar vayab yom hashishi v'ichinu es asher yaviu. La'alta, this is kind of just it's connected to Hilchos Shabbos, but it's a little bit out of place, it seems. But a person should always wake up early in the morning in order to be involved in Hilchos Shabbos, in preparing for Shabbos, that everything should be prepared. Okay, so the Gemara then says, back to the dinim of Sudas on Shabbos, so Amar Rabbi Abba b'Shabbos chayv adam levitzoa al shtei kikaros. A person has the obligation to have a moti on shtei on lecha mishnah, on two breads, two loaves of bread. Dichsiv, it says lecha mishnah, you need two loaves of bread. That's how the man fell on erev Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Ashi lechazina le. By the way, the women are also chayv in this. Not only men, women are also chayv in this. The reason why women are also chayv is according to some Rishonim is because they're af heinayu ba'osa nes. The nes of the man also happened to the women, so they have to participate in the miracle. Ramban says you don't need af heinayu ba'osa nes. We have the Gemara in Pesachim that says shamer v'zachar. Kosh yeshe b'shmir yeshe b'zachira. Whoever is chayv in shmir, which are the los aseis, are also chayv in the aseis. So once women are chayv in the los aseis, they're chayv in every los asei, with the exception of three called tarkula. They're certainly chayv in the zechiras in the dinam of a matzis aseh on Shabbos, so they are certainly chayv in shalosh shudas, even without af heina yibos hanes. So Gemara now says that Amar Rav Ashi chazina leiler of Kana, one sort of Kana, that he was nakit tarti, he took two loaves of bread, ubat zechada, and he only cut one of them. So that's what he paskin brought down in halach and shulchan aruch. You hold both chalas, but he only cut one of them. So then Amar Laktu, Laktu, Ksiv, Laktu means in the Lashon, the singular, Lakto, you took it. One second. Laktu, it's a question, Laktu, you took both of them. It sounds like you only have to hold it, says Rashi, but in terms of cutting the bread, you don't only have to cut one of them. So Rebbe Zera have a batzi akula sherusa. He would cut akula. What does akula sherusa mean? So he says akula sherusa is prusa gadol, the larger one you cut, not the small one, the larger one. Other Rishon means akula means you cut both challahs, all challahs on the table. The grow is actually of the opinion. The Shulchan Aruch says that you cut the bottom challah always. The Ramah says Friday night you cut the bottom challah, Shabbos day you cut the top challah. The grow is of the opinion that you cut both challahs every single meal based on this Gemara, according to the Rishonim, which is not how the Mechaber paskins, but he paskins the akula sherusa on all the breads. Now, why would the grow do that? Because in addition to shtei lechem, the bread being a remez to the man, it was also remez to the lechem upon him. There are 12 breads of lechem upon him. So if every meal you have two loaves of bread, so and you cut them in half, both of them, each meal, you now have four loaves of bread. And the three meals, that gives 12. There are 12 lechem upon him. So he would do that in order to have that remez. The Arizal says there's a different remez. We know that the loaves of bread are shaped like a vav. The long challah, that's the shape like a vav. You have two vavs, that's two sixes, that's 12. That's a different remez for the 12 lechem upon him. The Gemara now says further, we'll finish the last few lines here. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi v'ha mechzi k'rav sanusa. When a person has the biggest loaf of bread, you're taking a bite into a huge loaf of bread, a loaf of challah, that sounds like you're like starving. It's not derech eretz to like have such a huge bread. So Amar le, he says, k'even t'chol yom lo avid, since every single day during the week I've got just a slice of bread, I don't have a huge challah. And ha'ina, now it's Shabbos, the covered lay, I'm only doing this on Shabbos, lo mechze kirevasanusa. It doesn't look like I'm a guy starving. This is what I'm doing with the covered Shabbos, everyone understands. It's not lacking derech eretz. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, ki miklai lehei rifta deruva, when they would get a bread that was used for the eruv, so shari alavei, they would actually make a motzi on that on that bread that was used for the eruv. I'm not sure eruv chateres, eruv tafshilin. Hov this abed beichad a mitzah, this abed beichad mitzah acharina. Once it was used for one mitzah, the mitzah of setting up an eruv, whether it be an eruv tafshilin or eruv chateres, so you should use it for another mitzah. In this case, the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. So that's why it's practiced. And when a person makes an Erev Tafshilin, a matzah, an egg, whatever they use, one should make sure, for two reasons, but make sure to use that for a meal on Shabbos as well, because hol v'sabe bechad mitzvah, v'sabe be mitzvah acharina. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.